good to see everyone again this morning. We're sort of continuing on this diversity series that we started a number of months ago called Better Together. The idea with the series is that people from the congregation, not preachers like myself and other folks, but just folks from the congregation will share on a Sunday just what their experiences have been around race and faith and diversity and being at a church like Peace Fellowship, which is very diverse and has a lot of moving parts. So the person that so lovingly accepted my invitation for this Sunday is Monica. And so I'll just invite Monica up for her to share. So y'all give her some love as she comes up.
So good morning, everyone. Everyone who does not know me, I'm Monica. And so today I'm going to tie what I'm talking to today about race, my experiences, ethnicity, and diversity into the faithfulness of God. So before we begin that, I will pray since I'm very nervous. Dear God, thank you for gathering us all here together today, this morning. I pray that you allow what I plan to say to come out in a positive way, in a way that allows us all to grow together. I pray for the words that come out of my mouth to come from a place of truth and a place of love, and I just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Amen. So you can go to the next slide. So here are the questions that I'm going to be reflecting over as I talk. What circumstances led you to trust Jesus with your life? How did you land at Peace Fellowship, and why are you still here? What has been the most challenging aspect of being a part of Peace Fellowship, especially with our changing degrees of diversity? Please share something that you have learned about race, ethnicity, or class in your walk with God. What has God been saying to you lately? And what biblical text most inspires you to embrace the church's mission to develop disciples of Jesus Christ east of the river who love God and love their neighbors? Why or how? So those are some of the things that I will be discussing today. So as far as my introduction, this is my family. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. Grew up with three other siblings. My older brother, Alvin, was born first. Then I came second. Then Franklin and Francesca. And I grew up in a house with my mom and dad. They were married. As far as I can remember, we've always been a church-going family. I don't recall a point in time when we were not going to church. So I did grow up in a very faith-based household. But as far as our faith in our house, I don't feel it was overwhelming or overbearing. We prayed before we ate dinner, prayed before going to bed, prayed before I ran a race. But nothing was overbearing, no remembering scriptures, anything like that. So it was pretty easy going as far as developing my faith or laying that foundation, just the exposure of being in church and and through prayer. So now I can share how I got to Peace. So I decided to put some old pictures of Peace. That's the camping trip. Why the youth will never go camping again. We complained. We complained the whole time. But how I got to Peace, around middle school, seventh grade, my family began looking for a new church family. I'm not sure what church we were attending before that. But I know we had been visiting different churches in the area, and my family was just not pleased with what they were experiencing. I know there were times we just got up in the middle of service and left. And so by the time Peace Fellowship was passing out flyers in our neighborhood, we lived in Kenilworth at the time. I know my parents were pretty much at the point of willing to give up the search of finding a church home for us. So that Sunday morning, they dragged us down to Kenilworth Rec Center for the umpteenth church we had to visit. So I wasn't very excited about it, but I can say that once I became a member and our family began to come to Peace every Sunday, it definitely changed my family's life. I would say that we joined Peace at a very difficult point in our family. This is also around a time of just being more aware of the difficulties within my own family structure, with my dad and his drug addiction, and so peace being there. Through that, my parents getting a divorce. So it's just a very important time when we did join peace, and that explains also why I'm still here. Just those relationships were very meaningful during some very difficult times. And so, again, that's why I stayed at peace. Getting older, to backtrack, when we were going through those difficult times, I know Pastor Dennis was probably on speed dial because he would always be there when I would get in trouble at school, and me and my siblings had issues always being there. I know things like Larry, he would take Franklin out when my dad was not as involved. And so those are just some of the reasons, again, why we were at peace and how meaningful peace has been to us, just seeing how much those people have loved me and my family. Now we can go to why I trust Jesus. So I decided to bring up some pictures from high school because that's when I went to Bishop McNamara High School, which I felt is a very important, it was a very important place for me in my life with my faith, getting introduced to Catholicism and what they believe and how that is very different than the non-denominational beliefs of Peace Fellowship and kind of being conflicted and torn. I know this is also when my parents are getting divorced, and when you hear things like, oh, the Lord doesn't acknowledge divorce, or all these crazy things, and how it makes you confused. And so I could definitely say while being at Bishop McNamara, I was challenged in things that I believed, heard things that I've never heard before. But I can definitely say that one class that I took my senior year, Christian Ethics, really opened my eyes to how other parts of the world people suffer more than we do. Poverty, injustice around the world. So that's really opened my eyes to that. And so I know that me being at Bishop McNamara really helped me to begin trusting in Jesus and trying to live out his principles and teaching. Also, can you go to the next one? So in college, at a very life-changing experience, the day before my 19th birthday, I found out that I would be having my son, Amir. Happy birthday to me. And so this is also a very crucial time for me when I began to trust in Jesus again, realizing that I need to live my life for someone other than myself. I needed to just focus on different things. In college, most of us have been there. It's not really an ideal place to really focus on Jesus or God for that sense. And so I knew that growing up, I had always been to church. So once I found out I was having my son, went back to Bible study, went back to church. And we'll explain why I stopped going to church while I was in school. So going to a Catholic high school and then the birth of my son are some really key points in my life that allow me to focus my energy and prioritize back on living for God. We can go to challenges with my faith. And so this is where I will spend most of my time. Sorry, I'm still nervous. So in 2009, I got a track scholarship to attend the University of Memphis. Woo. No alumni in the house. Which is in the Bible Belt, which is another layer of complication in my faith, going from non-denominational to a Catholic high school. I just like to say overzealous, or people who misinterpret the Bible greatly, the Bible Belt. And then just trying to put all of this together to figure out what I believe for myself. So in Memphis, this is the first time I also have met people who interpreted the Bible very differently than myself. Which being so young in your faith is very discouraging at times and also very challenging. I also met people from a lot of different faiths, so this was the first time I had met people who openly did not believe in Jesus. I never met people like that before, so that was definitely life-changing, and being introduced to a lot of different religions around the world. So that opened my eyes to different things that there are to believe in. Also, when you go down south, I don't know if you can see that, it says, go to church or the devil will get you. And so there are a lot of situations where I found, and I was really told, in my face, you are going to hell. And so one instance was, I've been attending Bible studies with some of my teammates. This is my freshman year. We went down to Mississippi for a Bible study. It might have been a Wednesday or Thursday night. So everyone's praying, and after the Bible study, we read Acts, and then we're told to talk in tongues. And I've never seen that before. What my parents have always said about that, as you can hear, my mom was laughing. I've never seen that or been to a church where that was common practice. And so being told if you're not praying in tongues, you're not really letting the Lord into you, you're going to go to hell. And I'm like crying in the middle of this circle, everyone's talking in tongues, and I'm like, I could do it, but I knew I would be faking it, and it wasn't something that was genuine. And so that is what stopped me from going to church my freshman year in college. It was just a tough pill for me to swallow that somebody could really tell you that you're going to go to hell because you don't speak in tongues. And I don't know. For me, that was just a really difficult experience for me to go through. Not only that, I did started attending a church. We did a Bible study series on other world religions and the way that it was talked about. And I just kind of felt it was very disrespectful to other people's beliefs. I get really offended if someone talks about Jesus or God in a negative light. And so I also feel offended when people talk about Buddha, Muhammad, whatever it may be. I still think that a certain level of sensitivity needs to be kept, or not to act like we are 100% right and there's no chance in the world that anybody else can be correct in their faith and what they believe. So that stopped me from going to that church. Oh, yeah, and then also they would tell you, don't do things like yoga, meditate, because it's from the devil. And so I was just really confused, and I just felt that, can we go to the next slide? That some of the most judgmental people I had ever met in my life claimed to be Christians. Like this picture here, with a man dressed in a KKK uniform, but bearing the cross there. I don't understand how certain people can say that they believe in God and they're Christians, and they make other people feel so much hate from them. The signs the boy is holding. God hates you, you're going to hell. His shirt is just against the acts of homosexuals. And that hate has been taught to him by someone that's probably a Christian or considers themselves to be a Christian. Some of these other pictures relate to other challenges that I had. So noticing today that, like I said, Christians seem to be the most hateful or insensitive people, and that has been my experience. And that has been challenging for me to even in some circles admit that I am a Christian. Because they'll throw these things at you, or these images, and we've all seen I'll say people who just interpret the Bible very differently than we do, and it can make us all look very bad. And so me being down south, certain things, they're just not accepted down there. Homosexuality, believing in other religions, interracial marriages. It's just really crazy what Christians believe and will say in church down there. So that led to me just having a lot of challenges and questions. But also challenges in my faith when I start to learn about the ugly history of the church. So that's why the pictures of the crusade is up there, and also a book called How to Make a Negro Christian. There are a lot of aspects about Christianity that we do not talk about as a church that affect people's desire to even want to come into the church. Other things like pagan holidays, I've struggled with that. Easter, I want my son to be happy, but I don't understand how bunnies and eggs fit into all of that. So around this time, these this is my faith being challenged, me having to think about these things. Learning about King James, changing the Bible, the purpose of him doing that. Those are some, once upon learning that, definitely changed the way I view Christianity. And when people say, is it an infallible word of God? But then will not acknowledge that a man has changed the Bible. And this is the Bible, King James Bible is used in a lot of churches. And I'm not saying it's wrong to use the Bible, but why do we never talk about the background behind it and how that does affect some people's ability to trust in God? Also, oppression of women. Christianity, and not just Christianity, a lot of world religions, it is used to oppress women or these defined gender roles. It is not very liberating for a woman to go into church to hear you can't stand at the pulpit or you can't have certain roles because of how they have interpreted the Bible themselves. And I believe in the ways that I've seen it, it is used in a very negative way to keep women in a certain role or to keep people who identify as women in a certain role. Learning about the selling of indulgences in the Catholic Church. I thought that was the most bizarre thing ever, that the church was involved with so much corruption. And it's not something that is ever talked about. How do you sell or tell people that if you give me money, you can go to heaven? But this is the foundation of which a lot of our faith is built upon, the Catholic Church. The Crusades, how many people have been killed trying to convert them to our beliefs in God and Jesus? The persecutions of the church, and a lot of times when that is talked about, we talk about how Christians ourselves, we were persecuted. We hear that all the time, and it's a very glorious, heroic thing. We never, or it's very rare that I hear about times when Christians have persecuted others. And not just a long time ago, still going on into this day and age. You can look at Palestine and see that. You have people who interpret their faith, and for them that means that they can oppress and exploit other people around the world. And for me that is very challenging when I acknowledge that I believe the same thing as some of those people who are using their religion to oppress other people. Also the church's role in the slave trade. That is not something that is ever talked about. Why, I don't know. It's the reason why many black people are Christians today. You have writings and works of people who talk specifically how to make a Negro a Christian for the purposes of controlling his mind and body. And to be black and to read those things and to say it does not challenge me in my faith, I just can admit that it does. To read certain things that have been said and written and to realize that it's done for me to be in the same position I am in now, it's very a hard pill to swallow. The last point about me being challenged in my faith is how a lot of other world religions have the same story or similar story as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the first person to walk the earth with a virgin mother and a father, and he's sinless, and he's come to save his people. There are so many other very similar stories around the world with people who believe that, but Christians that I have felt think that Jesus somehow makes them better because they believe in Jesus, that that is the only truth, and that anybody who believes something different with a different name, even if it's a similar story, that they're living in sin and they're going to hell. And so for me, those are just things that have actually challenged me in my faith. We can go to the next slide, I believe. So as this relates to race, ethnicity, and diversity in my relationship with God, in college, I began taking a lot more classes about the history of African Americans and Africans. Also, during this time in Memphis was the first time I had to reflect so much on the fact that I was black and made aware of it constantly. Maybe I was just naive before I left D.C., but I never felt that I had to be so conscious of the fact that I was black and being aware of it, and that I knew nothing about who I was. This is the first time I had to reflect on being black. Also, with Memphis, there's a rich history with slavery, African-American music, and so these are all things that have helped me to understand race, ethnicity, and diversity in my relationship with God. Also, when it comes to race. I have to reflect on the purpose of race as it relates to my faith. I have this picture up here for us just to look at it and just to think about the different emotions that are invoked inside of us when we see this picture here. On the left, we have the picture of a white Jesus, and on the right, we have a picture of a black Jesus. For some people will say the color of Jesus does not matter. If that's the case, my question becomes, why is this the only one used around the world if it truly does not matter? Also, how many of us are more inclined to hang the picture on the left in our house? It would never dream of putting the picture on the right in our house. What does that mean about how we see race? How does that impact our faith? Race, how does race impact our faith? And so I know I've gone through a lot of challenges with my faith as it relates to race. And so there were some serious questions I began asking myself while I was in college. The first being, if white people never cared about African Americans' health, families, culture, identity, language, traditions, health, safety, education, dreams, aspirations, or et cetera, why would they care about my soul and ensuring that I would have eternal life with Jesus? And so for me, I don't know if my mom remembers, but that I had called her when I left the library, and I don't know why this question came to my mind and what purpose it was meant to serve. But it was something very difficult for me to be able to answer, and it's very difficult for a lot of people when I've presented them with that question also. Another question that I had was, do I truly believe in Jesus because I believe in Jesus, or because my mom and father believed in Jesus and that was what was placed into me? So I had to do a lot of soul searching related to that. And also, would I still believe in Jesus if my parents had not? So again, for me, race has been something I've had to reflect on as it relates to my faith. I can say that my faith has wavered at times because of this very aspect of who I am. I can't change the fact that I was born black, and I can't change the fact of the reality of the life that me or my family or other people who look like me have been subjugated to, and the fact that we can't deny that religion plays a part of it. So going back to this picture, one of the reasons I believe we can't ignore race is because it doesn't allow us to fully acknowledge that God has made us different, and it's a beautiful thing for us to be different. Somehow we as people have turned that into be a very ugly thing. But with this picture, these two pictures again, I do believe that ignoring his color does not allow us to accept the image and the use of white Jesus and how it has been used to psychologically and spiritually oppress people of color around the world. I've gone to so many churches where there is not a person that is not black in sight. And this is what is on the wall. Going to family members' home, and this is what's on the wall. And I don't even know if a lot of us understand just the image, what it does to people when you say that your Savior is a white Jesus, and that to be perfect and to do all of these great things and what you are aspiring to be is just like this person on the left. For some people, that is very psychologically damaging. And so some questions I had to think about again, I may have said this, is what emotions do I feel when I look at the picture on the left versus the right? Why do people say that Jesus' color does not matter? I have never for the life of me understood why people act like race does not matter. You cannot act like it does not matter, in my opinion. And we must accept the fact that race, ethnicity, and color diversity is not accepted in the church. And this is just an image that, for me, proves this. You will never see the picture on the right in certain churches. You just will never. And I believe that the church upholds the issue of race by ignoring the issue. And when I say that, I feel that some of us are very comfortable with the issue not being talked about because we are comfortable, and it affects us all in ways that we do not want to admit. And it also forces us to realize that Christianity has played a horrendous role in the oppression and exploitation of people around the world. We can continue on. And so what I am learning, race, ethnicity, and diversity plays a major role in everyone's identity, culture, mentality, and spirituality. Knowing this impacts our ministry and our outreach. I have some images of some pictures from urban America around the country. I think that's Baltimore, maybe Chicago or New York. Common image you'll see in predominantly black neighborhoods, a liquor store, and the infamous doll test. But where we are serving Peace Fellowship looks a lot like these images we see up here. And if you choose to ignore race, you're not going to reach the people in this community. We have to admit that people in this community experience a very different kind of life. And it boils down to nothing but their skin color. Also, this is my challenge with still attending Peace Fellowship. Me growing up in Kenilworth, I never lived around people who were not black. I never went to school with people who were not black. First time I ever went to school with white people were the Wards, who were members of Peace Fellowship Church. And that was my first time being in an intimate setting with white people. And this is in seventh grade, and I can remember when they're at school, we were so fascinated with their hair, everything. We just couldn't stop touching the hair. But then, even for myself, realizing a lot that I was taught about white people was not true also. This is the first time I had been around a family that seemed to be very aware of the issues, social issues, that affect all people around the world. And so I am very thankful that I was able to meet that family and have some of my stereotypes of things that were put into me as a child questioned and checked also. But I do believe that ignoring this can prevent us from truly serving the community in which we serve. The community in which we serve is predominantly black. For some people, they don't understand what that means to live or grow up in a predominantly black neighborhood. It is not like the movies you see on TV. And the damage is far worse than a lot of people can comprehend. And I myself had to deal with those harsh realities growing up. Housing is an issue. Schools are an issue. The type of stores in our communities is an issue. And this is kind of with my challenge again with Peace Fellowship is how does the church directly help the people in the community if we cannot acknowledge the issues that the people in the community face? We know that drug use is a huge issue in our communities. And I cannot say that I've ever been at a church where we have adamantly talked about helping the community, the people in the community who abuse drugs and alcohol. We got a liquor store right across the street from my church. And I'm not saying that this is any fault to us, but the church is not relevant sometimes for the needs of the people because we ignore the realities of the people living in the community. What about our schools? Some of us, a lot of us are teachers, so we know, but the state of our schools is horrendous. It is just terrible, the environment in which our students who from this community, where they go to school, and to realize that they are subjugated to that because they are black. How many churches are addressing that need? With this black doll image picture, I put that up there because a lot of us who have been taught that white is better, we honestly believe that in everything that we do and how we carry out our life. And how does the church address that issue that white is not better? Black is not better. Asian is not better. Any other subgroup is not better than the next. And that is not talked about in the church. Definitely not on a mental or psychological level about how that impacts people in their realities in life. And so I guess my challenge for us is as a church that we continue to talk about race because it's the unfortunate reality of everybody in this world. We cannot serve the people of this community if we ignore the fact that they're black and what that means for them and their children. I've never gone to certain parts of the city. I have never gone to and seen a liquor store almost on every corner. Where I live at, there are two liquor stores down the street. I guess if you can't get your fix at one, go across the street and get some more at the next store. You will never see underperforming schools without books, without teachers. You will never see certain parts of Northwest D.C. look like that. But then you also may not see people who look like myself there also, or at least who can afford to live there. I think we can go to the next slide. And so what I'm learning from all of this with my challenges with my faith, the challenges with acknowledging race and ethnicity and diversity, is that we are still called to help those people who are most vulnerable in our communities. And so this is the scripture that I try to live out on a daily basis while I'm at work. It says, this is from Matthew chapter 40, verses 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did you ever see me hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it for me. And so that's what guides me in the work that I do at Maya Angelou, as challenging as it is. I do feel that regardless of the challenges that I faced in my life with understanding who I am, what exactly it is I believe about God and Jesus, that I am still called to serve those who are considered the least of these. And for us, the least of these in our community are black. And so it is our call to serve this community, to acknowledge everything that this community brings, in order for us to faithfully serve this community and to supply the community with all that it needs. We can go to the next one also. And ultimately, everything that I've learned about my challenges with my faith and with race and ethnicity and diversity is that God is faithful. All of these things that I've pointed out are not reflections of God, in my opinion. They are reflections of us not being faithful to God and what he has called us to do. And so Pastor Chin was the one who kind of pointed that out to me. I came home one time on break asking, how can God send people to hell? Why would a loving God do that? And he was the one who first started getting me to think about looking at it from a different perspective. I can look at race, the social injustice around the world, and be really discouraged and think that God is not here and God is not present and does not see the state of his people. But that's not the case. From Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. God's faithfulness does not stop. It does not end. And so I hope that what I've been able to convey to you all through my tears and through my nervousness is that race, ethnicity, and diversity and faith are challenging. But God is faithful through it all. And each day we can start over afresh and be reminded that his faithfulness is great.